Right now, as you read these words, there's a conversation happening in your head. It's commenting on what you're reading, perhaps judging it, maybe planning what you'll do after you finish this section. It never stops. This mental chatter narrates your life like an overenthusiastic sports commentator who doesn't know when to be quiet. If this voice were an actual roommate, you'd have evicted them long ago. Imagine someone following you around all day, offering constant, unsolicited opinions. Did that sound stupid? They probably think you're boring. What if everything goes wrong? You'd consider them insufferable. Yet this is exactly what happens inside your head, and somehow you've accepted it as normal. Here's the fascinating part. If you can hear this voice, you can't be the voice. There's the talker and the listener. So which one are you? This simple question cracks open everything. The voice is just thoughts passing through your awareness, like clouds drifting across the sky. You are the sky itself, vast, unchanging, and free. The first step toward liberation isn't silencing the voice, impossible, but recognizing you're not obligated to believe everything it says. Strip away your job title, relationships, possessions, and achievements. What remains? Most of us build identity through external markers, a house of cards that collapses at the first strong wind. Close your eyes and imagine a beach. Feel the sand, hear the waves, smell the salt air. Now open them. Your surroundings didn't change, but your experience shifted dramatically. Who was watching those mental images? That same awareness is reading these words right now. It's been there your entire life, unchanged whether you were 5 or reading this today. This awareness is like the screen on which all movies play. The content changes constantly, comedies, tragedies, action sequences, but the screen remains untouched. We spend our lives trying to improve the movie, but true freedom comes from recognizing we are the screen, not the flickering images. When you stop identifying with the character and recognize yourself as the awareness watching it unfold, you're no longer trapped in a limited identity. Notice how your energy shifts instantly? Exhausted one moment, then revitalized by exciting news. Energized until one conversation leaves you depleted. This isn't metaphorical. Actual energy flows through you, influenced by thoughts, emotions, and experiences. Eastern traditions call it prana, chi, or life force. When energy flows freely, life feels effortless. When blocked, everything becomes struggle. Your heart center, the energetic space in your chest, reveals this most clearly. Notice how your chest feels with someone you love versus when threatened. When disturbed, we instinctively close our hearts for protection. Each closing stores unprocessed energy inside, creating sensitive spots that future experiences trigger. The practice is counterintuitive. Stay open when disturbed. When difficult emotions arise, relax into them rather than tensing against them. Allow energy to move through you rather than getting stuck inside. Each time you stay open when you'd normally close, you release old patterns and reclaim your natural vitality. Imagine a thorn in your arm. It hurts when touched, so you protect it constantly, holding your arm carefully, avoiding activities, staying hypervigilant. Your entire life organizes around this single sensitive spot. We live this way psychologically. We carry inner wounds we'll do almost anything to avoid feeling. Someone abandoned in childhood might structure their life around never being left again, choosing safe but unfulfilling relationships. Someone humiliated might avoid any situation involving judgment, sacrificing growth opportunities. The conventional approach accommodates these thorns. We curate our lives to avoid triggering sensitive areas. This manages the problem at enormous cost to our freedom. The alternative is radical. Remove the thorn by facing the pain directly. When disturbing emotions arise, fear, jealousy, inadequacy, our instinct is to close against them. But closing traps the energy inside where it continues causing suffering. True freedom comes from doing the opposite, relaxing in the face of disturbance, opening your heart when you most want to close it, allowing the energy to move through without resistance. Each time you choose openness over closing, you release stored pain and reclaim freedom. total inner freedom requires one price: willingness to face all of life, including its pain. This isn't masochism. It's recognizing that avoiding pain creates more suffering than the pain itself. We expend enormous energy arranging life to minimize discomfort through elaborate control strategies, perfectionism, people-pleasing, procrastination. Yet pain finds us anyway, and we're often ill-equipped to handle it. Most suffering isn't a pain itself, but our reaction to it, the tension, fear, and resistance we add. Pure pain, the raw energy of an emotion without mental commentary, is just energy moving through your system. It may be intense, but it's temporary and ultimately harmless to your deeper self. When you cut your finger, the initial sensation is just information. The suffering comes when you add thoughts. This shouldn't be happening. The same applies to emotional pain. The raw feeling of disappointment is bearable. Our story about it makes it unbearable. Practice with minor discomforts, waiting in line, social awkwardness. Instead of immediately trying to fix or escape, pause and experience them directly. You'll discover that pain passes through you without defining you, like clouds moving across the sky. Most of us believe happiness comes from achieving certain conditions: the right relationship, career success, material possessions. We think, I'll be happy when. But this conditional approach keeps us perpetually chasing the next thing, never arriving at lasting contentment. The highest spiritual path offers an alternative: choosing happiness unconditionally. This means deciding to be happy regardless of external circumstances, not because you've lowered your standards, but because you've recognized that happiness is your natural state when you're not resisting life as it unfolds. Each time circumstances challenge your happiness, you have an opportunity to practice returning to your center. Notice when you're making happiness conditional. I can't be happy because this person did that, or I'll feel good once this situation changes. These thoughts surrender your well-being to factors beyond your control. The alternative is identifying less with your thoughts and emotions and more with the awareness witnessing them. From this perspective, you experience the full range of human emotions without being defined by them. Choosing unconditional happiness doesn't make you passive. It energizes you to engage more fully because you're no longer draining energy through resistance. What would change if you lived each day aware that your time is finite? Most of us live as if we have unlimited time, postponing our deepest aspirations while the clock keeps ticking. Bringing mortality into conscious awareness changes everything. Priorities crystallize. The question shifts from, what do I want someday, to what matters now? The courage to live authentically emerges when we recognize our finite opportunity. This contemplation reveals something profound. Many limitations are self-imposed. We don't speak our truth because we fear judgment. We don't pursue dreams because we fear failure. We don't reconcile relationships because we fear vulnerability. Yet when faced with limited time, these fears pale compared to the regret of not having lived fully. The awareness of death also heightens appreciation for ordinary moments. A conversation with a friend, the taste of food, the feeling of sunlight, these simple experiences become precious when we recognize their impermanence. This is spiritual awakening, not an escape from life, but complete immersion in it. Stop waiting for some perfect future moment. This moment is all we ever truly have.